Hey, this is David Perdue from the MyNAMS.com site. This is the Insiders Club, novice to advanced marketing system. And just a word about the Insiders Club. The Insiders Club is a special group of people. These people pay for these in-depth webinars. We do these once a month, these in-depth training sessions, where we get people like Sterling that we had on this morning, and to talk about a specific topic. Now, Sterling went way above and beyond, I thought. And it was pretty awesome, I thought. He told me yesterday that we were going to focus on mindset, and I'm all about mindset, so I was happy with that. But the mindset, that the depth that he went into on mindset was really great. It really helped. I personally feel a lot more comfortable when I understand where people are coming from, and I also understand how they got beyond where they were and what they were doing. All of us have these things that we have to deal with, and this morning's session with Sterling, the first half of his session with Sterling this morning was all about mindset. And the second part we started getting into of his this morning, we started getting into a lot more of what he called his starter tactics for getting started with JV opportunities. Now, I'm going to go into a little bit more depth this afternoon into what we need to do to really get moving with joint venture opportunities. But first, before we do that, if you don't mind, type in the question box here if you appreciated this morning's session, if you got a lot out of that, if you had questions from this morning's sessions, anything that you want to review, any questions you have that you'd like to have answered, go ahead and type it in there. Okay, so folks are saying, yes, it was great, brilliant, very informative. Good. Lynn says, it was not what I expected, but it was what I needed. That's great, Lynn. I'm not a big believer in giving people what they want, because often I feel like we all need to get more of what we need. Yeah, this was, I thought it was an outstanding session, and to tell the truth, it wasn't exactly what I was expecting either, but it was even better than what I was expecting. So, now we're going to talk about what really you're trying to accomplish by doing joint venture partnerships. Now, these are different from affiliate relationships, and it's really hard to explain the difference between an affiliate relationship and a joint venture relationship in a few words. And that's why people kind of dance all around it when you ask that question. And Sterling today had a really good definition of it. And it was that mutually, let's see what his definition was. Let's just go back up here. And let me go back to his definition. And it was mutually beneficial relationship, doing what we would be doing anyway, that benefits the other partner. So, mutually beneficial relationship, doing what we would be doing anyway, that benefits the other partner. Now, doing what we would be doing other way means that we are going to do it because we're good at it, right? We wouldn't do things that we're not good at if we were just going to be doing them, right? I read a lot of books because I love to read and I love to write. I'm going to be doing that anyway. Now, if there was a way that I could help people do that, if I really wanted to turn that into a business, I could be a reader. There are publishing houses that hire readers. I'm not a fast reader, so that would be my problem, because I really like to savor books. But that would be something that I could do. Now, how could I help you with that? If you have a book and you wanted me to read it from a technical perspective, or a editorial perspective, or even just a content perspective, you know, you gave me a book, I could, and we're trying to build a relationship. Now, don't everybody send me books. But if we were trying to build this relationship, I would love to read it. So, you know, I'm going to do that anyway. And that would be, and then I could give you the my input on it, and we start building the relationship that way. So that's one of the things that I have in my toolkit that could be beneficial to somebody else. Now, we're going to talk about in context of our six steps to implementing big ideas, which we always try to come back to because this is the way we do things around here. We're going to come back to some pretty basic steps, I think, here for getting started with joint venture partnerships. Creating the mutually beneficial partnerships. We're looking at the dream phase here. Creating mutually beneficial partnerships. What that means is that if I promote you, you promote me, basically. It comes down to that. Now, getting to that end result is long and hard. And sometimes you go beyond that, where I can't promote you any longer because you don't fit my market any longer. So there are those situations that happen too. Now, I'll talk about a little bit about that. Let's see. Kathleen Gage. I mean, I'm going to use a lot of people's names today and a lot of examples. Kathleen Gage is one of my favorite people. We are simpatico from a spiritual standpoint, as well as a business integrity standpoint, as well as an understanding, basically, of the other person's background. I mean, we just have a great background. We have we share a great background. We share great belief systems. I heard Kathleen Gage on Willie Crawford's podcast. Willie was having his 50th birthday bash 5 or 6 years ago, whenever that was, and I said to myself, I want to work with Kathleen Gage. That's somebody that I want to partner with. So I signed up to go to Willie's birthday bash with the express purpose. One goal out of that entire weekend was to go meet Kathleen Gage. So I sent her a note, said I was coming, that this was my purpose of coming, was to meet her, and that I was planning, I wanted to get lunch with her. I wanted to buy her lunch. I was nobody. I didn't have NAMS at that point. I was friends with Willie a little bit. I was friends with a couple other people a little bit. And there were half a dozen people there at that event that I hung with. You know, I knew that they were going to be there, and we kind of hung together. Now, we're going to talk about the good and the bad of hanging with the same group. So Kathleen and I did go to lunch. I corralled her and got a commitment from her to go to lunch, and we hit it off, and we started working together. I started promoting her stuff as fast as possible and as much as possible. I was promoting everything, including her blog posts and everything. I was sharing her blog post out on social media sites. I was commenting on her blog post, and before you knew it, Kathleen knew who I was, and she was responding to my email, and I signed up for her affiliate program, and I was selling some of her products. So I was on her radar. Then I had her, I think the very first thing that we did was I invited her to speak at my second or third NAMS workshop. Kathleen came, and she was awesome. People loved her. It was worthwhile to her. We talked about it and her becoming much more involved in NAMS. And she did that. Then we started selling each other's products. And we started becoming much, much more involved from a business standpoint. Kathleen has gone into high-end coaching and a lot more publishing aspects. And I still work with her on those things. I still help her as much as I can on those things. And she helps me as much as she can on those things. But we've both gotten so busy that it's really hard to schedule our promotions for each other. And because we have so much of our own stuff. So our relationship is still good. And our joint venture partnership is still good. But it is different than what it was 4 years ago. So these things evolve. And you can expect them to evolve. And as she's gotten a much larger and frankly, a much more successful circle of influence, then I've gotten a larger circle of influence. Then she's really, we've really started meshing our circles as much as possible. And that's the way these partnerships work as well, as you start blending these things together. So this brings me to clicks. One of the things I heard at the last workshop, and I've heard this before, by the way, is that NAMS is clickish. And it really makes me uncomfortable when I hear that NAMS is clickish, because when I was in high school, and you may remember this as well from your own days in high school, a click is not a good thing. A click is something that has a little wall around it that you can't break into, right? I mean, do you guys, you ever, were you in part of a clique, or were you a, was there a clique around you that, what's your understanding of a clique? Is it good or bad? Yeah, outsider, Candy says. If it's a clique, it means you're an outsider. So that kind of has that connotation of being an outsider. Tim says, I saw them and I didn't care for them. And that, and what he's saying is that he didn't care for that group of people that was in that clique, I think. And I think that happens to all of us to some degree, that we base our decision on whether we want to be part of this group or not by the quality of the people in that clique. Now, when people say that NAMs can be a little cliquish, I started saying to myself, is that really what that is? Is this a bad thing that NAMS is a little cliquish? Or is that just natural niche affiliations that they're doing? Is it groups of people who have like interest coming together? Is it that to me is a lot different than a clique that you can't get into. And I want to really caution people to look at groups like that and determine where you fit in, and if you can fit in, and if it's something you do want to fit into. So we're going to evaluate that as part of your joint venture relationship execution when we get to that point. So, for example, this question, is a clique bad? Who do you want in your group? If you see a group of people that are doing the kinds of things that you want to be a part of, then you want to target those people as people that you want in your, and let's not say clique, but let's say in your, what is a good word for that? Let's just say group, in your group. So once you've identified these people, you do what I did with Kathleen. You get in their forums, you buy their products, you go do what you can do to get on their radar, right? So, I'm sorry, I'm reading the questions here and comments here, and Susan says a community has a permeable boundary, but a clique has a firm boundary that you can't get through. I think that's true in some cases. I don't think that's always the case. I really think that the difference between a community and a clique is kind of semantics. It's really how they present themselves and what they want. So, Candy says, I was at my first NAMS and I was pleased with how friendly most people were. Most people tried to include me and I appreciated that. Yeah, so that's because I think that you're walking into a group of people who understand joint venture business relationships versus people who are looking for somebody to hang with. Remember I told you when I went to Willie's birthday bash that there were four or five people there that I always hung with when I went to events. I got stuck doing that for a couple of years. It's always so much more comfortable to go sit in the back of the room with two or three people that you already know, and then you don't have to be a part of the larger group. It's those small herds that can really kind of keep you where you are. So, you're a business person. Your goal in life is to make more relationships, to be of more value, and to be of more service, and to make money doing it. So you can't do that by being in the same small herd. But you can enlarge that group. And by enlarging that group of people that you want to have relationships with, you are giving yourself greater opportunity. But you have to do it one at a time. You have to do it sincerely. And you have to do it with the right motivation in mind. So when I said about targeting, one of the things that we're going to talk about is building a list of people that you want to target. And like I'm pretty good friends with Willie Crawford. I've got Willie's cell phone number. He and I talk frequently, and I really like Willie. Willie is somebody who's been around a long time and really understands the world of business. The way I met Willie was I paid $497 to join his private forum for a lifetime. Now, when I did that, I sent him a note and told him how happy I was to be part of this forum, and if he needed any help in the forum, to let me know. And I got in there and I contributed all the time. In the first year, at least, of my relationship with Willie, I was in there and contributed with him all the time. Now, Willie and I have a relationship that has made me thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And it's made him thousands of dollars, too. It's been a mutually beneficial relationship. But it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't really made a purchase and gotten on his radar. The second thing I did was to promote the heck out of one of his books. And it was a 100% commission book. So I got the money from it, but I sold a bunch of those books and he got a good list out of it. So it was beneficial to him. And by focusing on that relationship and working with that relationship, I got on his radar and was able to build that joint venture partnership. Willie and I then actually built products together and had a business together for a little while as well. That worked out favorably for both of us as well. So now let's talk about, I wanted to talk about Teresa Miller and Kurt Scholey. I don't know, Kurt, are you on here? I know you're a member of the Insiders Group and I saw you this morning. Yeah, Kurt's not here right now. Teresa, I met at NAMS. She was in the MyNAMS membership site as well. And Teresa became an intern for us. Teresa, that was an opportunity that she jumped on. She had the courage and to take us up on the internship offer. It was a non-paid internship offer. She jumped on that and did a great job. Got on our radar because she did a great job. Now, there's other people that jumped into our internship program and did a terrible job or did not show up. By the way, they also got on our radar, not in a good way. Now, you build relationships in both directions. If you're not building a good relationship, you're probably building a bad relationship. So remember that. And Teresa was building a really good relationship. So Teresa, the next thing I knew, Teresa had some expertise in CreateSpace and publishing books. So I reached out to Teresa when I saw her first product. I couldn't promote it the first time, but I reached out to her and got her into our weekly live training where we promoted her heavily, and she created a special package for the NAMS team, for the NAMS membership. Teresa is now one of our joint venture partners. And by the way, when Teresa really got on my radar was when she was probably in November and December of not 2012, but 2011. She showed up as one of our top five affiliates because she really was out there promoting the heck out of NAMS. And so all of a sudden I knew who Teresa was and I gave her a phone call. So that was one way that Teresa and I became joint venture partners, what I consider to be joint venture partners, and that's based on relationship. Now, I see Kurt just popped in here again, and I'm going to talk about Kurt a little bit. I might even open it up. Kurt, if you got a headset, I want to talk to you a little bit about this, if you don't mind. So let me know when you're ready to talk, and I will open up the mic there for you. I am looking at... Okay, good. So let me give you a little background about Kurt. Kurt came to NAMS 2 or 3 or whatever it was and immediately offered help. He wanted to help us in any way that he possibly could. Now, I didn't know Kurt from Adam, and I didn't know that Kurt was a successful businessman, that he'd been a businessman for a long time. But all I knew was that Kurt was, one, he was just incredibly great to be around. He was pleasant. He was... took all the initiative in the world. He was consistent. He was reliable. So all of those things were terrific. He'd been a member for a while, and he said, could he help in any way? So Kurt did, and I really appreciated that. So there were what I tried to do then, because of our relationship, was find ways that Kurt could get more active in the NAMS organization. And Kurt, and I've never really had this conversation. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to open it up. Let Kurt talk to me about this as well, because we've never really had this conversation. But I think it's important to talk about how this came about. Kurt, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Got a little bit of an echo in the background.
That's
but
because for some reason my speaker's on and my headset isn't, so, I'll turn it down.
So while you figure that out, I'm going to talk a little bit more about you, and I'll come right back, okay?
Okay.
So, Kurt, immediately the first thing we did was he wanted to bring his cameras and his lighting equipment to offer headshots for people. Kurt does that for folks around his home, and he wanted to do it for us as well. So I thought that was a great opportunity for not only Kurt, but also for our folks. And it also helped Kurt get more known in the NAMS community, not only among the students, but also among the instructors, which was one of my goals, for Kurt to really get to. I mean, Kurt has his own reach. Don't let me fool you about this. But my goal was to help Kurt as much as possible enlarge his reach with our great instructors. So Kurt did that. He brought his cameras and his lighting equipment, started making headshots of people. The first time, I think he did it for free, if I remember correctly. Then I encouraged him to start charging for it. He did, and he started charging a low cost for people so they could get a professionally done, well-lit headshot while they're at the workshop. By the way, that offers great value to me, so because it's another benefit of coming to the workshop, and I love that he does that. And it's not easy. It's a lot of work. The other thing was that then about four workshops ago, maybe three workshops ago, Gary Huff and I and Kurt decided to do an afternoon training session on business models. Now, I knew Kurt had a lot of business experience and would be a great resource for this business models workshop. So we were moving Kurt from the aides rank into the instructor's rank. And that was really helpful to Kurt and to us, because it gave Kurt more status among the group and it gave him a broader reach, and he's now part of the instructors group on Facebook. We have a private instructors group on Facebook, and he's also invited to all of the instructor competitions, all of the instructor promotions, all the instructor joint ventures that we do, so he's got that going on. Then the other thing was that we got him into the add-on workshops teaching about social marketing, because that was one of Kurt's special areas. Kurt, are your speakers fixed? Can we unmute you now? And we got him also doing a weekly live training about social marketing. So there's been four or five ways that we could help Kurt move his circle of influence as much as possible. And Kurt is one of those guys who does this naturally as well. So he has been a real benefit to us at NAMS, and have become a real fixture at NAMS. Now, the only mistake I made is I don't think he can do the weekend that we have in August of next year, because he has a commitment that he can't get out of in one specific week of August. And of course, I scheduled NAMS around that one. Wasn't my fault. Okay, well, I'm coming back to you anyway, Kurt. Hold on. So, Kurt.
All right, I turned my speaker back down a little bit, but for some reason, I still can't get my headphones working.
That's all right. I didn't say that your greatest skill was your headphone and your audio. So, but what we did do was identify a lot of your skill sets, and you identified a lot of your skill sets, and you brought them on to help us, and then we came back with that whole "you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours" kind of thing, right?
Yeah, wonderful joint venture.
Yeah, we've done several things together, and we'll do a whole lot more because it's just fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So from your perspective, is this how you go out and create the joint? I know that you have an entire business networking group, a breakfast group, I think, that you run in Chicago. Is this how you go out and do these things as well?
You know, I've been called a connector, and I think part of the reason is that I am always trying to meet up with people. And so I do have a meetup, a breakfast meetup in the western suburbs of Chicago, and I just took over another one that's kind of a luncheon meetup. And I use it to do a lot of the things that you and Sterling were talking about this morning, about, you know, getting out there and being known and making friends and adding value to relationships and mutually beneficial partnerships. And it's amazing how many things then, you know, come your way and get offered because, you know, you are trying to help out and serve.
Right. Right, and it's that whole help out and serve thing that really got my attention and put you on the map for us. And being an aide at NAMS is a great way to do it, to get started with it. I guess we probably have 10 or 12 people in our instructor crew now who started as aides there.
Yeah.
And I love that it is a way for us to get to know you. And we'll take a chance on aides a lot faster than we will on somebody we don't know who just comes in off the street.
So, yes, sir.
So anything else you want to say about joint ventures?
Well, I'm really interested in learning more about them and adding some of the perspective from, you know, what I heard this morning. I'm sorry I came on the afternoon shift here a few minutes late, but this is really, really good stuff. And thank you for putting this all together for us.
Sure. Sure. This is one of the things I'll show you. We're going to talk about your strengths and weaknesses here and listing those out and then finding compatible people, complementary people to work with. So that's down the path here. Okay. Thanks, Kurt. I'm putting you
back
on mute. Okay. So there's Kurt and Teresa, and we do that with a lot of people. That's one of the things I love about, and that's one of the reasons we changed our tagline on the Novice to Advanced Marketing System to Team Training and Tools. This is team. Joint venture relationships fall under team. And we want to build our site so that you can identify who you should become team members with in your niche, whatever that is, inside our site. So watch for more and more information about building that team. That's a really important thing to me. The last thing is we talked about who do you want in your group, how to target those people, and then what I want you to understand is you may not know somebody, but you probably know somebody who knows somebody who knows that person. That whole 6 degrees of separation piece, or the Kevin Bacon game, as I like to call it, is one of my favorite things in the world. If you remember, about 1997, 98, one of the very first social media sites that I used and loved was called, I think it was called 6 Degrees. It was 6degrees.com, and it really was just a linking site, a lot like LinkedIn. But I don't think it made it. If it did, it was sold. I know it didn't make it. But if it did make it in any incarnation, it had to have been sold to somebody else. Anybody remember 6degrees.com? It was real early on. It was like the very first social media site. But it was all about connecting, and you could have multiple layers of connection where you would go down and find somebody. If you wanted to find out how to get to Barack Obama, you could find people in your circle who knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody. And that's what that was all about. You can do that as well. And I encourage you to do that by asking when you need to get to somebody. Let's say, for example, that I needed to get to Joel Kamm. It didn't happen this way. It actually came the other direction to me. But if I needed to get to Joel Kamm and I stood in front of the NAMS workshop audience and said, I need to get to Joel Kamm. Who knows Joel Kamm? Somebody would have raised their hand there and said, I know Joel Kamm. And somebody, in fact, did. Somebody there named Natalie Wheeler happens to be Joel Kamm's VA. Now, I didn't know that Natalie was working for Joel. But I didn't get to Joel Joel didn't get to me through Natalie. What happened was Natalie was at the workshop. she was talking to her boyfriend, who is Lee Collins. And Lee Collins was a good friend of mine from 6 or 7 years ago in another group. And Lee called me, or actually sent me a message on Facebook and said, David, you need to get Know Joel Comm. And I wrote him back and said, I've always wanted to meet and know Joel Comm. I've followed him for years. I love his work. And I think he's just a great guy. He really has the same kind of heart for the NAMS instructors that I believe in. And I think he'd fit in great, but I don't know how to get to him. And Lee said, I'm sitting in his apartment. He and I are really good friends. He's here on the other side of this computer. Would you like to talk to him? So we got on a hangout together. And before I know it, I've had 3 or 4 hangouts with Joel Comm. Joel is going to be at the next NAMS, and he is a great guy. And that's how that connected. But you see, that's only 1, 2, 3 connections between me, not knowing anybody who knows Joel Comm, and there's Joel Comm on the other end of that thing. There's 3 connections. Natalie, well, actually 2 connections between us. Natalie Wheeler, who attended NAMS, and Lee Collins, who was her boyfriend. And then, of course, I knew Lee. So identify the people that you know, then ask your circle of influence, do you know anybody who knows? And that's one way that you can start getting some talk going. Now, I've worked really hard at building the reputation of NAMS, so Joel had heard of NAMS before I got to him. So he was warmed up. He was ready to have a conversation. But if you have a good product speaks volumes when you are ready to talk to somebody else and you can show them a good product. So one good way to do that, and don't forget, you have it LinkedIn. LinkedIn is built for this purpose. LinkedIn is a great tool for finding people who know people. And that's an awesome thing. So I would say that I'm building not cliques, but groups of like-minded people, groups of people with a dedicated purpose of moving forward. You know, one of the things I love about Nicole Dean is that she has this motto of making the web and the world a better place. I think that's a great motto that her entire group, her entire dedicated organization of joint venture partners, of which I'm one, Kelly McCauzy's one, a lot of people at NAMS are part of her, and it's not a formal group, it's a little cocoon that we all like to hang out in, but that's the primary driver of that group, making the world and web a better place. Okay, so identify your primary purpose and draw people into that. That comes to the next thing here, is NAMS a click? I say that NAMS is a click, can be a click, there are groups there, but they're not really clicks. They're not that hard border that Candy or Susan told us about earlier. Let's see. Who said that? Yeah, it was Susan who said that clicks can be a hard border, have a firm boundary that you can't get through. By the way, Candy says that this was her first NAMS coming and she was so pleased with how friendly most people were. Most people tried to include me and I appreciated that. Lynn said she didn't find it clicky at all. Quite the contrary, I was so happy and relieved. There were definitely those that knew each other from other years, but they were all open to accepting someone new like her. And so that's what we want to be. But if people are that's, this goes back to the mindset. If you're expecting clicks, you're going to find clicks. If you're expecting open groups that want to include you, you're going to find that as well. So I have gone from the other direction, from hanging with just 4 or 5 people in the back of the room to now going to an event and walking into the door with my hand stuck out and a business card in the other hand saying, hi, I'm David from NAMS. What do you got going on? What do you work on? Is there any way I can help you work on it? And so that's just been a real effort on my part because it's not my natural state. So I don't think NAMS is a click. I'm glad to hear most of you don't think that either. But I do think that it's very niche group focused, and that's by design. Now I want to talk about a syndicate, the syndicate. This is kind of a mythical organization. It may be absolutely real, but these are the guys that are supposed to be in it. Mike Filsaime, Andy Jenkins, Jeff Walker, Ryan Dice, Frank Kern, and John Reese. Those are some pretty big names and some pretty heavy hitters in the internet marketing world. And supposedly that is a very, very closed group. That group promotes one another's products. They have supposedly a launch schedule, and they drive millions of dollars round robin through that group. Now, is that a bad thing? I'm not sure it's a bad thing. A lot of people say it's a really bad thing. I'm not sure it's a bad thing at all. I think it's a business model. We don't have to buy their products. There is a lot of buzz about this. These guys get really busy and do promote a lot of material. Andy and Mike just had Video Genesis, which was a low-cost product. And usually the products that come out of this group are in the $2,000 range. And Mike and Andy did the $297, I think it was, with a $97 entry point. And you know, the rest of the syndicate, if you want to call it that, promotes the heck out of it. But they also get a lot of affiliates then who come in and promote the heck out of it too, because they make money. So I'm not, if I could have a group of people that was, in fact, I do have a group of people that is a core group of people. It is my NAMS instructors. You see me promoting them and us promoting me, them promoting me frequently. That is my core group of like-minded, single-purposed folks. Now, that doesn't mean that we have a closed group. We definitely want more people in that group. We want more people providing products that give great service and great value. That's the difference between a closed group and an open group. An open group really wants, it's all about education. To me, it's all about education and about value. So that's the one of the reasons we have the weekly live training. Yesterday, we had a couple of women on who were teaching about, for the first time, teaching about content repurposing, recycling. And they were new to our promotion group, and I'm going to promote the heck out of that product because it was really good. It's a great value. So they're part of our group, and they promote us back the other way. So that's excellent. Let's see. We got a comment here from Tim about this. Let me see if I can get it up here. Oh, first, Lynn says no women in that group. No need to change that. Of course, NAMS is changing that. Need to change that, don't we, is what you said, Lynn. And of course, NAMS is changing that. NAMS is definitely changing that. Most of our group is women. So, and it really is kind of a mindset shift as well. So I think that's a great point. I saw a lot of friends at NAMS enjoying one another's company. No cliques. I saw mean-spirited cliques in high school that looked down on the other kids. Not good, says Tim. Yeah, that's what we usually think about when we think about cliques. And I don't think that the syndicate is mean-spirited. I think it is a business model. So you take it for what it is, and then you move, and then you do what you want with it. So, okay, so... we're still in the dream state here, and I want to bring value to partners. We talked about this, bringing value to customers. The way we bring value to partners is to bring value to customers. If I can bring a partner a product that is an excellent product, it makes the customer and it makes the partner look really good for introducing that product to his customer base. So he gets all of the credit and kudos for introductions, and that's excellent. So good products equal good value equal good reputation equals good buzz. NAMS is getting a lot of good buzz these days. Now, I could easily trash that buzz or turn that buzz 180 degrees by doing the wrong things. I don't plan to do that. I want to ride that buzz as far as we can ride it, but mostly because we're doing the things I like to do, which is providing great value. And the other thing that's happening, when you do this long enough, this second thing, good products equal good value equal good great reputation equals good buzz, when you do that long enough, guess what? People start searching you out to be their partner. That's happening to me a lot now. Sterling approached me. I did not approach Sterling. And I was just tickled to death to meet with Sterling and talk about how we could work together and how we could help each other. And we're going to continue to do that. I'm going to be on his celebrity summit, celebrity traffic summit, on a regular basis, on the Friday afternoons that I'm available. And he's going to be part of our NAMS community. He's going to do some weekly live training for us, and I hope he comes as an instructor at some point to NAMS. Sterling's got a lot to bring to the table, and he's got exactly the right kind of heart. So I'm all about that. So I write down here attraction rather than promotion. When you get to that spot, then promotion becomes easy, because then people start coming to you about how they can help you and how they can promote you. I said earlier about going to events. I went to, what was it? The event in Las Vegas, Dennis Becker's event. Basically because I met Dennis, I went specifically to Raleigh at another event to have lunch with Dennis. And I invited him out to lunch. We had arranged it prior to getting there. And we went to lunch, and I said, Dennis, if you'll speak at NAMS, I'll speak at your event for you if you want. And he agreed to that. So we did that together. But my ulterior motive was that I wanted to go to his event to meet two of his other instructors. One was Jason Fladlin and Will Matos, that Rapid Crush team. They are killing it in the marketing world. Now, whether you like how they sell things or not, it doesn't matter to me, because their process is unbelievable. They have a back-end process that is off the charts, and their process is so simple and so clean that I wanted to see that firsthand. I wanted to be part of that. So I targeted those guys. I wanted to do as much as I could to help Jason and Will be even more successful. And now they don't need me. I'm a blip on their map these days, you know. So, but I spent 3 days, in some ways, courting Will Matos. Will and I got along really well together. We're both IT guys. We're both process guys. We had a lot in common. And he was willing to talk to me about some of the stuff going on with them. And I was willing to tell him about our strengths and weaknesses too, and what we could learn from each other. And that worked great. So Will got Jason to agree to come to NAMS as an instructor. And then as soon as I got home, I got in the top affiliates program with Will. They have a special Skype group for their top affiliates. And I scheduled 3 promotions for Rapid Crush on products that I really liked. I went through all of their products and I pulled out their products and I really liked them. And I scheduled 3 promotions. And I got on their radar. And I continued to promote them and continued to stay in contact as much as possible. So, that was great. Now, the other one, I went there to meet another instructor who I won't name, and I loved his work and I loved his talk, but I didn't like the way he came across with the people. I mean, he's very good one-on-one, but I didn't see enough of a dedication to the customer on a general basis. So I just didn't feel like it was the right fit at that point. So I backed off on that one. Now, I went to another event last month and identified half a dozen people that I really wanted to work with, and they're on my target list now. And I identified a bunch of people that I didn't want to work with, and so I removed them from my target list. So there's this thing called a tipping point in my mind, and this is where people come to you instead of you going to them. Now, I just described how that happened with Sterling, and a few other people as well. And Joel, in some ways, was that way. I'm going to describe one more to you in a bit how Alex Mandosian and I did this last hangout together and how that came about. And I think we're going to talk about that in the next section. But it is people coming. People start coming to you when you have proven yourself in some ways. And that's a really nice place to be. because then you can make sure that the people you associate with are the right people. You don't have to be so, you don't have to work so hard at finding the right people, because the right people are going to find you. But that doesn't mean that you don't stop seeking out new ways of helping others. So, you know, just because somebody comes to me and say they want to build a relationship, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to see how I can work with them. If we decide to build a relationship, I have to figure out how I can help them. And I'll tell you this part about the Hangout, the way that Hangout worked this weekend. Alex Mendozian, after we had our first conversation, I'm not going to tell you how we got together. I'll tell that story in a little bit. But after we had our first conversation, we decided we wanted to do this. And by the way, we only decided 5 days before the Hangout that we were going to do this massive Hangout of 12 instructors over a four-hour period. And it was going to be the first mega Hangout that Alex had done. So Alex and I got on the phone, and are actually on a Hangout, and we talked about what the structure of this would be and what my role in this would be. And Alex basically gave me my marching orders. Go get your best instructors. Go get your keynotes. Train them on what kind of topics they need to talk about during this thing. Be very focused on what the value is that they bring to the Hangout. And then we will schedule it. We'll promote it. Everybody has to promote it. And we'll drive as many people into this as possible. Now, the reason this was good for Alex and because I wanted to do it was because he has this thing coming up called the Hangout Challenge. And it's a 21-day challenge. It's a high-ticket item, and he wanted to do proof of concept that you can monetize a mega Hangout where you're presenting on four platforms. He did that. He presented on his own platform, Facebook, YouTube, and Google. So he was presenting on four platforms at the same time. And we got 1,410 opt-ins into his NAMS list, which is only for his promotion of NAMS workshop. 1,410 opt-ins in Alex's NAMS list. Now, he'll also promote the Hangout Challenge to those people, because I will get commission on the Hangout Challenge if people buy into the Hangout Challenge. Now, that relationship was so successful, that Hangout was so successful, that we're going to continue. Yesterday, we were on the phone and designed a series of six more Hangouts between now and the 2 weeks before the workshop, where we'll invite two instructors per Hangout and spend just an hour every other week, starting in a month, every other week, to teach again. And we learned a lot from it. We'll do it a little bit differently. But I learned a ton from being on that Hangout with Alex and learning from a master interviewer. So that's a great new relationship for me. My focus was not how much money can I make off of this Hangout. My focus was how can I help put butts in the seats for Alex's Hangout to make it incredibly successful, so that he says, I want to work with David Perdue for a long time. And that's what's happening. So yesterday I had a private call with him for about an hour talking about event sponsors, getting sponsors to events, and how to be more successful with events, the way he's done events for the last 15 or 20 years. So, you know, that hour-long session was worth $5,000, I mean, in coaching time. And I got it as part of our deal. Okay. So now let's move. Any questions so far about what we're going through? Okay. So I want you to be thinking all the way through this about your niche specifically, and how you can bring Hangouts. No, I'm sorry, not Hangouts. I got Hangouts on the brain. How you can bring joint venture relationships into your niche. I'll show you something here. Let's see if I can find it. I'll show you two things, I hope. Yeah, so this is Stewart's. Sorry, Stewart. It is Sterling's. Celebrity Traffic Summit. He does this every Friday. It's 30 minutes each for the instructors. Now, look what he's done. He does this kind of on the fly, too. He won't fill these last seats until probably the day before. And that's today. So if he had these filled, it would be the day before. So he has Jason Benoit, Mark Hardy, Colin Klinkert, Walt Bayless, Jason Fladlin, Michael Port, Sean Mize, Nicole Dean, and another, what is that? 8 more. So he's doing 16 people every Friday afternoon for his Celebrity Traffic Summit. I'm going to put this link in here so you can sign up for this as well. I think it is http://nams.ws/celebrity. I think that's it. If you would, check that link and make sure that it is correct. You can sign up for this. It is free. Now, Sterling is a great interviewer as well. As you could tell today, he has a lot of good knowledge himself, but he brings in these people and then pumps them for additional knowledge on specific topics. What's he really doing? He's getting these people. Okay, wrong URL. I'll figure it out in a minute and get it back to you. Here, you can just go to this one and sign up. There you go. That'll get you there. Okay, so Sterling has all of these people who are fast becoming joint venture partners for him. And they may be people that he doesn't know. So every time Sterling and I meet, he says, we want to do a focus this week on, you know, so-and-so. Let's say we're going to focus this week on Google AdSense. Who do you know that is a good expert in Google AdSense and that I can get on this Celebrity Traffic Summit? So I'll rattle off a couple of names. Jason Benoit is somebody that I told Sterling about yesterday. Jason Fladlin is somebody that I told Sterling about 3 weeks ago. Now, he already knew Jason, obviously. Everybody knows Jason. But Jason is, he got him on the Hangout on this Celebrity Traffic Summit, which is also a Hangout, after I mentioned him to him. And then, of course, Nicole was the one who got me in. So Nicole mentioned that I should be in here, and that got me on board with this whole thing. Now, Nicole's been on every Friday now for the last 4 weeks because this is a great way to get your name and your websites out in front of people. Now, could you be doing this if you were in the gardening niche? Absolutely. Are you kidding? I was driving in this morning and heard on NPR about a Saturday morning, and it was on Sirius XM NPR, about a Saturday morning gardening show. And who they were going to have on as their guest. And I thought, wow, if I was in the gardening niche, wouldn't you love to be on Sirius XM on a gardening show? Absolutely. So you could actually set this kind of thing up. And this is kind of an old technique that was used in teleseminar summits. And it was something that was not as effective lately in teleseminar summits. But for Google Hangouts, it is incredibly effective right now because it's new, because people like to be able to see the people. They like to be able to be involved. So it's much more personal using Hangouts this way. We'll probably be moving a lot of what we do via webinar, GoToWebinar, to Hangouts, including these insider things so that we can actually see people when they're talking. And now that I know the system a lot more, I like it really well, the way you can get to different screens and slide presentations and all of that. So, and you record at the time that you're doing it with the YouTube Live. So anyway, that's one more thing about the Hangouts. But this is a great way to do joint ventures these days, and Sterling is doing a great job with it. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to have him on this morning. Now, this is what we did, of course, with our Hangout. and we promoted it. All of our instructors promoted it. A lot of our affiliates promoted it, and so that's why we got such a great response on that Hangout that weekend, because we have a large circle of influence, which is, you know, outstanding. So this was the Hangout that we did. When you clicked on that image, it would take you over to the landing page, and you could register.
At this moment, you're just one click away from accessing 12 hand-picked instructors.
And you can see here's a button for access the replay for $20 here. Anybody who was opted in prior to that does not have to pay. And I actually think there's going to be a free period for a week. We discussed this yesterday so that we could get a free period for a week to get more people in here. Then beyond that, it's going to be a $20 replay fee. And it's going to be for giving people an opportunity to drive traffic in here for an $18 commission for that $20 replay for 4 hours. Now that's a pretty good deal, and it gets good paying traffic in there and good buyer opt-ins. Now, like I said, these opt-ins go to they're going into Alex's system, but it is a NAMS only list, so that's excellent too. Okay, so we talked about tracking them down. However you can track them down, now make a list. One of the things that I do is I did this last week. I've been messing around with this for a long time thinking it wouldn't work, and it works great. Do any of you have a business card reader? Put in the question box yes or no. A business card reader. Tim says no. Pat says no. Susan says no, just a phone. Candy says an app. Okay, so I actually did this after I came back from Marketing Mayhem. I had a stack of business cards. And what do you do with business cards when you come from an event? You put them in your drawer, and they sit there for a couple of years, and then you figure out what you're going to do next with them. So what I'm doing with these business cards is first I write on the business cards what their specialty is and what I can use or how I can use them. And I'm not on the right computer, so I can't show you how it works. But I might do a little tutorial on this, because I think this is really valuable. And I'll show you. Here is the one I got. This is the business card reader that I got from Amazon. It was $94.29. It came with its own little database, and it's a scanner that is really small. You can see that image of that scanner right there. It sits on the floor. I'm sorry, sits on your desk, and it's about 8 inches wide, and about I'd say 3 inches deep. And the card just scans through, and it somehow identifies all of the information on that card and puts it in the right spot. Now, it's not 100% perfect. You have to look at each one and make sure it got them right. And if people give you a business card that is a silver business card or a chrome business card or a black business card with purple type on it or something like that, it's going to be harder to do. But it makes an image of the business card, and it puts the data in a database in your app on your computer. And you can set folders up to drive them into folders in that app. So I have a folder for Marketing Mayhem. I have a folder for NAMS. I have a folder for the Warrior event in Raleigh. And I can go back to these, and I have this constant ability, this constant contact. Now, the thing about these, and I also have send out cards. I don't know if you guys have send out cards or not. And if you don't have send out cards, you should get send out cards. And here's a link to that. If you want to, moving picture note cards. Let's see, moving picture note cards. That's my affiliate link to send out cards, I believe. Check that link, make sure it works. That is, and if it doesn't work, it's the one without the S. But anyway, that's send out cards is a great way to just make sure that it that you're making contact. So this puts it in the database, and you can export that Excel file and pop it right up into Send Out Cards and send out a card to everybody on that list and say, great to meet you last week. So it's your first connection. Getting mail is so unusual these days. Getting good mail, other than junk mail, is so unusual these days that it really stands out. When I get a card from somebody, I love it. I put it on the refrigerator, believe it or not, and it stays on the refrigerator until my wife gets sick of it, because I love getting cards from people, and I love, people are really smart about these relationship things. Will send me a card or a brownie from Send Out Cards. I love the brownies. Or an Amazon gift card or something like that. And it makes an impression. And that person pretty much can call me up and say, can we do when can we do another webinar? And, you know, it'll be no time flat. So that's one of the reasons that I love Send Out Cards. So I'm going to put that in here as well, is that you should use Send Out Cards because it's automated, man. And you can send gifts through them as well, as a technique of getting on the radar. That's what we're doing with all of this, is getting on the radar. Okay, and I'll put this in here too. That was moving picture note cards .com. Moving picture note cards. Okay. So now you've got your list of people that you're building all the time that you want to build a relationship with. When I came back from the Raleigh event in April, I walked in the house with six people that I wanted to do more business with. Two of them were the event planners for the Warrior event. Two of them were there as presenters and JV people. One of them became an instructor at NAMS 10, Chip Cooper, who is the lawyer. And by the way, Chip and I have gotten to be good friends. We hung out together in Marketing Mayhem. Chip, I'm doing some stuff for Chip, and Chip is doing some stuff for me. And, you know, it's become a really, Chip's a lawyer. So when Chip is doing stuff for me, he's doing some legal stuff for me. So that's awesome. That's a joint venture relationship. And let's see, then I also came back with sponsors, and I was able to keep those cards and make those contacts. And using Send Out Cards is a great way to do that too, because on the business cards, you usually have their, you usually have their address as well. So now we want to talk about your value. And as you're creating your plan here, and that's what prototyping does, is you're creating your plan. This is all just paperwork, right? You're writing things down. You want to talk about what your value is. And what are the services that you provide? What are the strengths that you have? What are the assets that you have? And what are the advantages you have over others? So, for example, services you provide. Are you a VA? Are you an expert in video editing? I'm sending out a note, by the way, when we're done with today's webinar. I'm sending out an email out to my entire list about two things. One is a book that Dennis Becker is releasing this weekend that I love and I'm in. And two is that I'm going to, the subject on the headline is going to be Help Wanted, because I'm looking for a video editor, somebody who can edit these videos for these webinar series and edit them in Camtasia. So I'm looking for somebody who has Camtasia skills, can do video editing, and can load these up to my Amazon S3 for me. So that's three skills that I'm looking for. This person might have video editing, Camtasia skills, and loaded up to Amazon 3, which means they have to know Amazon S3 a little bit. So if somebody fits that bill and they have those services, then we're going to be able to work together. Strengths that you have. This is different from technical skills. So strengths. Are you a doer? Are you somebody who makes a plan, checks things off, and can really execute things. Now, for people like me, who a visionary is a really strong word for me, but I am somebody who sees the big picture. And I like to work in the big picture. I don't like details all that much. So for somebody like me, somebody who can take those ideas and execute them into step-by-step actions, that's a huge value to me. That's somebody that I would really love to work with. Are you the kind of person who takes initiative? Are you the kind of person that I even have a section on an initiative. Are you the kind of person who can see what somebody else needs and do it without having to ask them? I like to call that mind reading. My daughter does that really well for me. She has 39 years of practice at it, though. So she's able to really read my mind in many cases. Now, finding somebody to read my mind is really hard, and I can't expect that. But that is a strength that somebody else might come to me with, and they have the initiative they take the initiative to do things. Assets that you have. Do you have a library of images that are your own? If you do, then you probably could work with somebody who is a great website designer, right? Because those two people need each other. If you have a lot of content that you've created, then those are assets that you have. If you have, a lot of different things. I mean, you know, you could even have physical assets as well. If you have a lot of time but not a lot of money, then you have time that you can give somebody in exchange for money. If you have a lot of money and not time, you can give somebody money instead of your time. So that would be outsourcing. And what are the advantages you have over others? Many of the advantages that you have, you probably are taking for granted. For example, where do you live? You might have a geographic advantage. If you live in Orlando, you could be going to an event every weekend in Orlando because there are just a ton of internet marketing events or online business events or business mentorship events, all kinds of business events in Orlando. You could become the person in Orlando who is the go-to person for all the event planners on planning outings, let's say. Where to go for dinner, how to do these great things. You could become that person. That would be an advantage that you have over others. You live there. You know the town. There are many, many different things that you could look at and start evaluating. Now, that's what we want you to do, is start evaluating what your advantages are. What do you bring to the table? Okay? Weaknesses. You got them. I guarantee you. Your weaknesses are things that you probably hate to do. I have a lot of those that I probably hate to do, that I know I hate to do. You may not work well with others. I was one of those people who was not all that friendly until I got to know you. Then I was incredibly friendly. And I've worked really hard on changing that because, I'll tell you a quick story. My dad is one of the most generous guys around. But until you met my dad, he was always off in some thought. He was always in another world thinking about something, and I inherited that from him too. So when you look at him, he looks like he's distant. He looks like he's aloof and distant. And people didn't think he was going to be friendly. But when they went up to him and introduced themselves, he was incredibly friendly because he came back to that specific moment. And so He works really well with others. He had the ability to be incredibly generous with people, not about money, but about his time and about his expertise, and he was always helpful. So those were good things about him. Bad thing about him was that he was a control freak. My dad and I did a lot of woodworking projects together when I was younger, and even into my late 20s and 30s, we did a lot of building of things together. And I couldn't build something without him walking around behind me with a broom sweeping up stuff. And it drove me nuts because I like to clean up when I'm done. He likes to clean up as you go. So we didn't get along all that well when we were building things together. And we needed to know that. So he did some things, I did other things. Which brings me to, do you need a partner? Now, Amy Harrop and Deb Drum, who were on our weekly live training yesterday with the Recycle Your Riches product, are partners. And one of the things that we talked about them doing a weekly live training on was actually doing one on partnership, because they find that they're incredibly complementary. That's what great partners have to be. That's one of the things I loved about Jason Fladlin and Will Matos. Will is incredibly straightforward, process-oriented, methodical, by-the-numbers kind of guy. Jason is an off-the-wall, ricochet rabbit, idea-a-minute kind of person who says, I've got this great idea, let's put it together, let's do this, let's go tomorrow. And then Will will say, there's no way we can get that done by tomorrow. Let's do it on a week from Wednesday. And Jason will say, yes, I see that's the case. So, okay, we'll do that. It takes low egos or no egos to be good partners. So you have to find people that you have complementary skill sets with, that you can work with, that you get along with, that you have the same kind of value system with, that you can be a great partner with. So if you don't have some things, you can compensate for your weaknesses by getting a partner. And that's a great opportunity for a JV relationship. We're going to look at one of those in just a second. Then you got to communicate. Okay, so you've made your list. You're tracking people down. You've made your list. You understand what you're bringing to the table, and you understand what your weaknesses are. Now you're going to communicate your strengths to the individuals that you're looking for, to the people that you are targeting. You're going to communicate your strengths, but you're only going to communicate those strengths if they complement their weaknesses. So, for example, if you go find, so we're going to get into the case study. I'm going to show you this. Xbrander is the case study that we're looking at xbrander.com. That's our branding software. And then we'll come back to the communication in a second. Gary Cornelis is one of the people that works for me. I've paid him for a couple of years, and Gary is a really, really good programmer. He understands what I want. He does it. He's kind of a mind reader, probably too much of a mind reader, because it's really... He really wants me to be more specific on things, and when I am more specific, they go better. So that's the problem with mind reading. We have to get out of the mind reading set, more into the communication set. So Gary's a great programmer, and he's a good businessman, but he's very, very busy with client work, and he's trading his time for dollars. That's his business model. He wants to get out of that trading the time for dollars business model. I am very much not about trading time for dollars. I am about trading processes for dollars, for trading systems for dollars. So that's where I focus. Gary wants more diversified recurring streams of income. Here's me. I'm a good marketer. I'm a better visionary. I have great connections. I'm a good JV marketer, great connections, good circle of influence, and I want more diversified recurring streams of income. So we have opposite values. His weaknesses are my strengths. My weaknesses are his strengths, but we have one common thread that we both can focus on, and that is we want more diversified recurring streams of income, both of us. That's a primary goal in our life. So we make great partners. And we have put together a little partnership for creating software. Xbrander is the first one. We have about three or four in the hopper. And we're going to sell those as membership products with recurring streams of income on them. Now notice, we've done all of this before we built a product. The product is the least important part. The relationship is the most important part. You can always find problems that you solve. And problems with solutions are products. Problems without solutions are opportunities. So that's where the partnership comes in a JV partnership. And this is a JV partnership in the sense that we are not necessarily promoting each other. We're building something together, and then we will use each other's strengths to go out and get people to promote it. And we've not launched this yet, just quietly launched it to my list. And we've put it up on WordPress in their free download area. And Gary and I both are getting approached by people already because they want this product. So we've got to get our marketing plan together and get it out there in front of people and give them an opportunity to make money, because they see the opportunity, one, for the value of the tool, two, for the opportunity to make money with the recurring affiliate commissions on this. So what am I going to do? I'm going to create a marketing plan for the people that we can bring in as JV partners. We'll go to our JV partners first. We'll talk to them individually. We'll give them email, that's a personal email to send out. Then we'll talk to them as a group with their affiliate links. We'll give back on the individual. We'll also give them their affiliate links in their individual communications. Then we will talk to them as a group and tell them what's coming, when it's coming, and we'll work on that promotional calendar together so that they understand what's happening and when. That's the communication that JV partners, promotional partners, are really looking for. There is another level of communication for real partners who are doing joint venture projects that we have to work on as well. And that communication we manage through Teamwork PM as a kind of project management system. So that's where we do with that. Is this making sense so far, and is it helpful? We've got about 40 minutes left. I want to make sure we get to the right stuff. Yes? No? Okay. Yes, 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 Candy says. Good. If you have questions, be sure and pop them in here, because I talk a mile a minute, and I want to make sure that we get the questions that you have answered. Okay? All right. So, test. So, the thing that you want to make sure that you do when you've got when you're creating your joint venture relationships, you want to test if it's a good relationship. You can just be friends and not joint venture partners. That's okay. That's just fine. A joint venture partner relationship is one that makes you money and makes them money. That's the mutually beneficial part of a joint venture relationship. Because even if you're bartering, that is saving you money or making you money. And that's how you measure it. So you're going to measure the relationship through the monetary value of that relationship. And when people say it's not about the money, that's true. It's about the relationship. But the measurement of how successful this relationship is as a joint venture relationship is monetary. The first thing you want to make sure is, are you still in the same market? Is your market compatibility or complementary? It can be a market complementary that works really well for you. So, for example, I had Bad Dad, 10 Keys to Regaining Trust. Boy, I couldn't even remember the title of my own book. Bad Dad, 10 Keys to Regaining Trust. So what I did immediately was go do a blog search for other people out there doing parenting products. Now, there were people doing teenager products. There were people went to Amazon, bookstores, all that kind of stuff, and found blogs as well for people who were doing parenting products. And I offered my book to them with a healthy commission rate as a complimentary joint venture. Now, I would list theirs on my site and give them an opportunity to cash in on the traffic that I was getting, and they would list mine on their site, and we would do that kind of reciprocal thing. But sometimes it would work out that they would do a solo email about mine so that they could get a healthy commission, or we might even build a product specific for them. Nicole Dean is one of my great joint venture partners. So one day we were talking on the phone, and she said, "What are you working on these days?" And I told her, and it was, if I can remember what it was, I can't remember what it was, but I just remember the context. I told her what we were working on, and she said, oh man, that'd be like a great PLR report for my Easy PLR site. And I said, if you will write the report, I will buy it from you and use it as the product for my next, as the product basis for my next product. And so she went out and took the outline that we talked about on the phone, had her writers create a report like in 3 days, came back to me with the report and the articles that went with it, and I got the value of it for $10 or $15, whatever it was, and she got the value, and the value of having content for my site, and she got the product that she could actually sell through her website and make a ton more money for herself that way. Do you think that was helpful to her as much as me? Yes, it was. It's the way these joint venture things work. And it was the market compatibility, right? So the other thing that I like to know is if I've really got a good relationship with somebody, I've got their cell phone number. And I've got a bunch of cell phone numbers in here. And that's one of the things that I measure our relationship on is, do I have your cell phone number? Can I call you up, and or can I send you a text and say, can we talk? I've got an idea. I want to run by you. Da-da-da. That's a relationship. I want to talk to you about Sadiq, Muhammad Sadiq, and Yes. And I told Sadiq, his last name is Sadiq, it goes by Sadiq, everybody calls him Sadiq. I told him this yesterday. Sadiq he has a very thick accent, he's Pakistani, and he's a really, really sweet guy. I love being around Sadiq. He's been at the last 4 or 5 workshops. He's a great guy to hang around with, and he's a joint venture specialist. He's a joint venture broker specialist. And what does that mean? It means he puts deals together all the time. And he takes a cut of the deals. Or actually, really what he does up front is he just steps up and makes introductions. And then, because he's made himself so valuable in the introduction phase, people want to work with him. And that's what's happening. But I'm not a very trusting person when it comes to people who want to do something for me. We talked about that this morning. That's one of my weaknesses, is I have to get over that. So Sadiq came to me for the last couple of workshops and said, we should do something together. I can introduce you to some people. I can fill your room with some great speakers if you are interested in doing that. And I thought, sure, yeah, right, okay. So at the last workshop, Sadiq said, would you like to have Alex Mandojian here as an instructor? And I said, I'd love to have Alex here as an instructor. He is somebody that has been on my list for a long time that I would like to meet, and I don't have an entree to him. And Sadiq said, give me 10 minutes. And I walked away and continued working, thinking, sure, this is going to happen. And Sadiq came back and said, can you meet with Alex Monday at 10 o'clock? And I said, sure, I can do that. One of the spiritual precepts that I go by in my spiritual life is just to say yes. Whenever opportunities present themselves, you have to say yes. And when people ask me if they can help me, I have to say yes. When people say ask me for help, I have to say yes. Now, yes can sometimes be a yes, but it has to be a little bit later, or it has to be with this caveat. But it's always a yes. Now, when Sadiq came to me then on Monday and said, would you like to do a hangout with Alex? And I said, yes. And he said, this Friday. And I said, yes. I did not think it would happen. How could it possibly happen that fast? What I found out was, this was a guy who, when you say yes to him, it's not like everybody else in the world, to me. I mean, not everybody in the world is this way. Most of the people in the world are this way. Is when he says yes, when you say yes to Sadiq, you have made a commitment. And he's going to do something. He's going to do whatever it is that has to be done. So, by the way, this was at the Marketing Mayhem on Sunday is what it was. He asked me if I wanted to do a hangout with Alex. And And we had that conversation Sunday night at Marketing Mayhem. That's what that was. So by Hangout. So I said yes, and so Sadiq went into action. Now, when you find somebody in your life who is going to help you, you say yes to them, and they go into action, making it happen, that's somebody you want to work with. So now Sadiq is way over here on my good side of how I will do anything I can to work with Sadiq and help him. That's a solid, good relationship going forward. So that's how that relationship was built. That's how the Alex Mandosian Hangout happened. Sadiq asked me if I wanted to do it. I said yes. He got on the phone. He made it happen. I got my assignments. I got my people together. We did it all. So that's the way that worked. Now we're going to execute here for the last few minutes. We've got 30 minutes left. I talked about initiative earlier. You are creating joint venture relationships. And a joint venture relationship is incredibly one-sided. I'm going to show you a little bit earlier or a little bit later here about how it's one-sided but both ways. You have to be the one to do all the work. You have to be the one that makes it easy for everybody else. You have to be the one that is doing all of the service. So I call it initiative. Do it before it's asked. This got me in trouble back when I had a newspaper. I had a guy come in and gave me a... I had a weekly newspaper 30 years ago. 35 years ago. And he brought in... It was a friend of the family, and he brought in a full-page ad for my weekly newspaper. He owned a grocery store. And it was a really ugly ad, and I thought, I can make this look better. So I took the initiative to make it better. I designed it really nicely. It looked great. We ran the ad on... it ran on Monday. On Tuesday, he came back... No, it ran on Thursday, Friday. He came back into the newspaper office really upset that I had changed his ad. What I didn't know was I didn't understand the business well enough. Grocery stores get what's called comp advertising from products. So, for example, if you have a sale this week on Kraft cheese and you're going to run an ad in the newspaper, it's because Kraft cheese is giving you a rebate in some form of advertising or service so that you run the advertising for Kraft cheese to get that sale price down. And if you don't do it the way they want it done, they don't pay you. So I took the initiative, doing it without asking, but without knowing the business. That's dangerous. If you know the business, if you know what somebody needs because you've been watching them and you understand their weaknesses, do it before it's asked of you, and it gets a lot of attention. An example of that might be somebody needs a business card design for a special event that they're going to. And you are a graphic designer. If you know that they need this, you bring them two or three business card designs, and they can choose from them. And even if they don't choose any of them, they see that you've tried, you've recognized the need, and you've tried to do whatever you could do to make that work. So that's initiative. That is, I think it's a high element that's required for a successful joint venture relationship execution. Initiative also is when they're not looking, you're doing it. They don't have to ask you, so you do it, and you don't necessarily do it for credit. So if it furthers the goal of the event, then you do that. And also, I've got down here shy yes. What that means is basically the person is making, when he uses your, so you've done something for someone. When they accept that, they're giving you a shy yes that they're going to do something for you. In other words, reciprocity sets in. So they are going to feel a little bit guilty, and you're just building a little bit of a tank that you can call on later, and you're not doing it for that reason, but that's the way human nature is. So at some point, they're going to come to you and say, what can I do for you? And if they don't, then it's not a very good relationship, and it probably was a wrong choice for somebody to do this with. And the whole purpose of all of this is to get notice. We talked about mail earlier. We send out cards. We talk about sending out lumpy mail. Let's see. Somebody told me the other day that they got a package in the mail that was, oh, I know. Yeah, it was one of my friends early on who had a movie script. Well, movie scripts come in white envelopes at the movie production houses by the dozens. I mean, they bring them in, you know, those postal buckets full. And this guy sent his movie script in a brown paper bag with some groceries. He had a grocery delivery person bring in his movie script with some groceries in a brown paper bag. His script got read, and it got optioned. So it's about getting noticed, however you can get noticed, with mail, testimonials, buying products, contributing however you can to this person's well-being. So you do that. Excuse me. You do that. And you have a plan in place for that. What is your, let's call it getting on radar, getting on the radar. What is your getting on the radar plan? Put together a little spreadsheet. What are you going to do every day? Put it on your calendar. What are you going to do every day to get on this person's radar? And it could be as little as commenting on their blog every day. It could be doing a guest post. People love guest posts. It could be writing a report with their affiliate links in it from your products and other people's products and submitting it to them so that they can pass it out to whoever they want to. Make sure that that's a high-quality report. Make sure it highlights them, not you. All of those kind of things just to get noticed. And then when you get noticed, then you can start building the relationship. It's all about getting noticed first. That's the biggest part of execution. Okay, you started building the relationship because you got noticed. And then you want to look at the feedback that you're getting from that relationship. So the feedback is, does it feed your soul? Is this a relationship that's building you up, or is it taking you down? Hopefully you made a good choice. Hopefully you have people in your sphere that you are working with because you love working with them. If they are what's called an energy vampire, somebody who just drains you of energy, who sucks the energy out of your life, you want to end that relationship, and you want to end it as friendly and as easily as possible, but you realize this is not one for you. Is it an easy relationship? Is it something that you want to do on a regular basis? Is it something you don't even think about doing it? You know, I've got a ton of instructors that I love hanging with and I love working with and I love getting them on webinars and I love promoting their material because it's great material and because it is good product. It's not, you know, not everybody needs the same thing at the same time, but somebody's going to need what they have today, and I want to be able to put it in front of them and help that person build their business too, because it comes back to me. I get to do that as well. So the 80-20 rule. My dad, this is the best piece of marriage advice that my dad ever gave me. My dad's been married. My mother and dad have been married, 63 years. And whenever I travel with my folks, my dad is 84 and my mother is 79, I guess. Wow. They're like lovebirds. I mean, when they're in the back seat of the car, they're holding hands. I remember a few years ago, we were driving on a long trip, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and my folks are in the back seat necking. Not naked, necking. I mean, they're back there kissing, and I'm thinking, you know, 75 years old, and they're acting like lovebirds. This rule that my dad had was marriage is 80-20, and you both give 80. So that's a joint venture relationship. Joint venture partnerships are 80-20, and you both give 80. So, you always are going above and beyond what the other person expects to build that great relationship. And when you have two people doing that, it just becomes delightful. It just becomes fun. I like to think that's the kind of marriage that I have now. And I'm trying really hard to keep it that way. I know I get 80 from Chaucer. I just hope I give back 80. That's the kind of joint venture relationships that I want. 80-20. I'll give 80, you give 80. To me, that's the best piece of advice I ever got about relationships. So this is the kind of feedback that I'm looking for here when I look at my joint venture partnerships. It's really about the quality of the relationship, not about how much money I'm making, not about how much we're doing together. It's about the quality of the relationship. Do I want to continue this relationship? And the answer is almost always yes. But I have broken off maybe 6 or 7 relationships because they weren't easy. They weren't fun. I didn't feel like it was an 80-20. I didn't feel like it was feeding my soul. And I have gotten out of those. I don't do those anymore. Time is too short. Those are really painful and difficult. Okay, so the last thing is once you do this, once you evaluate this, and you get the feedback, you want to improve your joint venture relationships by widening your circle. Always going out and finding more people that you can build real relationships with. And I'm not talking about just gathering the business cards. These are people that you will get on the phone with, people that you will seek out at events. You'll find out what their schedule is. You'll find out where they'll be. You find out how you can hang out together. You find out how you can go on ski vacations together, how you can be in the same location, how you can go to dinner with them and their family. Paul Evans and Carrie Wilkerson have one of the best joint venture partnerships around, and it started as a joint venture relationship. They love to hang out with each other. Paul says that Carrie is his best friend. And Paul goes to New York City to go take in a show on Broadway with Carrie on a regular basis. He takes his whole family. She comes with her family. And they have just a lot of fun together. And that's what these should be. A lot of fun. So if you're widening your circle to get as many friends to be partners with you in with these other caveats or qualifications that we've talked about, for example, complementary markets, then you're building your business quickly, because once you build these kind of relationships, these people will do everything they can to promote you. I was going through a really rough time because of my site getting hacked last February, and I had no less than a dozen instructors come up to me, or after the event, come up to me via phone call or card or email that said, "David, we got your back. Whatever you need, let us know. We got your back." Those people, whatever they need, I will do whatever they need going forward, because they were there for me. And I didn't ask them to be there for me. They just showed up, you know, and it makes me teary-eyed now even to think about it, because they were there. That's what good joint venture relationships are. So when you do joint venture relationships, you spread the wealth. That's great. And you want to spread the wealth even more. You want to bring more people into that joint venture relationship circle to get things moving both in your direction. You know, spreading the wealth, building wealth, is part of our mission statement. And that is, this is one way of doing that really well. You get more done. Joint venture partners help you get more done. And you are able to get more done by leveraging more joint venture partners, and you can go on autopilot on some of the stuff you do. So, for example, if you build processes and systems in place, and one of these days we're going to have an entire webinar on system building because I think that's so important. But if you have systems in place, your joint venture partners can get on a promotion schedule with you so that you don't have to do much. You just are promoting the next thing in your funnel. Now, that's what we're building now, is our autopilot systems, so our joint venture partners can promote, make money, do what they need to do, and leverage our entire organization. So that's that. Any questions about building joint venture partnerships and relationships? As you see, we don't have a checklist. We don't have a spreadsheet. We don't have a template, because these are each one, I think, a joint venture relationship. Each one is individualized. Each one is something that you build just like you'd build a friendship. You don't have a checklist for how you build your friendships. There are some things you can do, as Sterling said earlier today, with things you can do to, what do you call them, starters. That's what I was looking for. That would be just the things that kick these off. And I've given you some tips here on how you can get noticed and get on their radar, but that would be really about the extent of the checklist. And truthfully, anybody who tells you they've got a checklist for all this stuff, they're coming at it from their point of view. They're not coming at it from a how can I help you, how can I be of service point of view. Because you can't go into a situation and have a checklist and ask that question and expect it to fit your to fit your checklist. Okay, so let's see. I've got some comments here. Pat says she would love a systems webinar. Maybe I can. Maybe we can put one of those together. I know a couple of people who do systems really well, and we're doing some systems as well. So we'll see what we can do about that. Lynn says, where can I go to put in a video testimonial of this? Lynn, we got a place where you can create the testimonial and then upload it to our site. Our video, our testimonials are at nams.ws/my-testimonial. And I think you can go in there. You have to load it to your YouTube or wherever you want to load it, and then we will download it from there. Unless it's a small file, I think you can actually load a file up there as well. So I do appreciate that. Thanks, Lynn. Pat says, as a newbie, should we build JVs with other newbies, or should we try for the next level up? Interesting question, Pat. I think newbies are always great for comparing notes about what's working and what's not working. But to build your business, I always suggest you go the next level up, because you want to bring... my friend Mark Hendricks used to say there are A's, B's, and C's. A's are people who know more than you do, have more experience than you do, have what more money than you do. C's are people who have less money, less experience, and less wealth than you do. B's are people who are in the middle, and you're always a B. You're always a B. Even when you start, you're a B. Even when you're very experienced and very successful, you're a B, because there's always somebody who has more and always somebody who has less. So I would suggest that you make a lot of friends in the B level, wherever you are, that you make a lot of friends in that level, because a lot of those people are going to be successful and a lot of them are going to fall by the wayside. You want to be friends with the people who are successful at your level so you can ride with them and support them all the way. But you also want to hang with the people who are above you so that you can be of service to them and get on their radar. Those are the people that are going to help you the best. They're going to be the people that that really are able to give you that kind of turbocharged boost to the next level. Okay? Let's see. Let's see. Lynn, I'll send you a note. In fact, I'll send you a link right here. Just one second. And any other questions about this? Was this helpful to you? Yes or no? Do you think you can build JVs going forward using this information? Okay. I'm going to read some of these comments. Let's see. Lynn says, thanks so much for the inspiring information. Excellent. Glad it helped. Candy says, yes, it was very helpful. Lynn says, thanks. And yes, this was really helpful. Stan says, yes, hopefully. I've always been a secret agent. Not sure what that means, Stan, but I think secret agent means in the background. So if that's the case, come on out front, big boy. Pat says, yes, very helpful. Lots to think about. Okay. All right. So look for this in your account. You'll be able to hit the replays, I hope, by tomorrow. And if not by tomorrow, yeah, by tomorrow. Okay. So thank you very much. And folks, go make some JVs. Get your business moving. Build great friends and have a lot of fun. All right. Bye-bye.